You okay to start?
Yes, sorry.
I know you just came out of another meeting.
Yeah.
Make sure my phone doesn't do anything.
Yeah, I'll do, are you okay?
Yeah, I'm good.
Hi, Vivian Campman.
Hi.
I'd like to call to order the special board meeting. It's Monday, December 4th, 2017. We're at the Board of Education Center, and it's 5:30. This is a special meeting of the Board of Education in public for the purpose of conducting the school district's business and is not to be considered a public community meeting. Pledge of allegiance, please. You all stand.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
I'm gonna, item two, opening items, roll call.
Mrs. Bernauer?
Yes.
Mr. Jansen?
Yes.
Mr. Ziegler?
Yes.
Mr. Dozen?
Yes.
Mrs. Mack?
Yes. Item three, state of the facilities and property. We have A, the design and, then design architecture incorporated, Mr. Smith. May I have a motion?
Yep.
Oh, so moved.
Second.
Roll call? No, yeah, discussion. How about that?
Discussion.
Thank you, sorry, I forget.
We did.
I'm not voting.
We got it.
Oh, okay.
Answer questions, I guess.
Just ask questions.
Okay. So, I know a couple of board members had questions. We are trying to coalesce around the idea of what kind of language we want in our, hopefully, what we move forward with in May. And so, if anybody wants to ask him any questions, we're trying to decide, you know, what's the difference between one building or two? One board member even brought up the fact that what our ceiling is for the, now that it's lower down to 40.
44 and a half.
44 and a half. So the two buildings were 47, is that correct?
47 and a half.
47 and a half, Michael.
What happened?
Between friends.
So, I mean, is it even a discussion anymore? Or, I mean, like, what starts happening now that we are down to 44? Two buildings still, different kind of quality, or we need to focus on one building?
Yeah, I mean, I think the question really is, does the district and the board want to participate in the state's program? Because if you do want to participate in the state's program at whatever level, exceptional needs or even help, you have to meet their budget. So then it's not a question of, you can't do it for less, is what I'm saying.
But you have to meet the budget.
You have to use their budget. You have to use their numbers. So in other words, whatever they say the project is going to cost, which is what the cost that we've based it on, that we gave you, that's what that you have to meet. So you can't go in a couple million short and say we still want to participate in your program.
So the two options, the one with one building for 43 and a half and the one with two buildings for 47 and a half, those have woven into them the requirements from the state.
Correct.
To give us the flexibility to use their funding and along with the strings attached.
Yep. Yep.
And if we veer away from that, then we're basically, then you don't have that option to use the state's funding.
Correct. And I think the way you could best look at that is it's the most conservative approach. So what we're doing is we're saying, listen, you have everything built into that, those costs, to participate with the state's program should you choose to do so. Other districts, they pass their bond issue and then they evaluate whether they want to participate with the program or not. So that's the luxury of being in the health district rather than the classroom facilities assistance program, which is the CFAP program. So because your number's not up right now and you're putting up all local funds anyways, that's the benefit of being where you're at.
Can you refresh my memory? I think when they came out, I think they talked about, so if we participate, where was it that we were going to get a 5% rebate? Was that through the state program?
Yeah, it's a maximum of 5% participation. So we've had the luxury of seeing preliminary, very preliminary numbers, mm-hmm. And it'd be less than $1 million.
Okay.
So I think that the very first thing we would suggest you do is weigh you know, does it make sense to spend $1.5 million to get $1 million?
Say, that's what it sounds like. This is kind of, if you do it our way, we'll give you some money, but it's going to cost you more than that anyway, right?
Well, it will. I mean, there's LEED certification that if you participate in the state program, you must make sure that your building's just to be LEED certified. And basically, you know, when Chris and I had the conversation, it's spending an extra $40,000 just to have a plaque on the outside of your building when indeed building codes right now are up to LEED standards. And do you want to spend that extra money or be forced to spend that extra money just so your building can say it was LEED certified, knowing full well that the building codes are up to that standard anyways?
So you feel comfortable being the design, you know, engineering, whatever all of your responsibilities are, that we are going to be able to more effectively spend our own money than anything we could potentially ever get from the state if we wanted to cooperate?
Sure.
Is that a safe statement?
Yeah.
So really, we shouldn't even be thinking about it.
Okay.
It's, yes. And you as the district can also maintain a level of quality as well. I mean, I don't think it's anybody's intent to go and design a poorly designed building by any stretch of the imagination just to maximize space or dollars or something. But I think you do have more flexibility to be able to not have to do the, you know, whether it's commissioning or LEED or paying for oversight or, and the contractors that would be bidding on the project, they know whether it's a state-funded facility or not, because there's a bunch of reporting that they have to do as well. They have to meet edge criteria, they have to meet, they have to report to the OAKS system, which is the Ohio Administrative Knowledge System, and it's a full-time person to do that. So that's money that you'll save just in inherent bids.
So if the board were to entertain the two-building option, realizing that our ceiling is $44.5 million, not $47.5 million, like we first thought, what would change to come down $3 million?
It's a lot. I mean, it's when you think about it, it's what, 8% or something like that. You know, there's two ways you cut costs. It's either quality or scope. So you build a building a little smaller, or you figure out how to do it a little less expensively. I don't think that they're oversized by any means, so I think we would be looking at potentially lessening some of the quality. If, you know, just as an outsider with experience doing this elsewhere, it would be my recommendation to consider one building over two. Not just for that reason, I think additional things of having all grades under one roof and stuff like that, that could potentially, there's certainly an economy of building one kitchen instead of two, one heating cooling plant instead of two. We talked about that. I don't think that should be the driving force, but when you're in a position like this, whether you're, it's tough coming out of the gate saying we have to save $1.5 million per building, and we haven't even, and we're predicting what costs are going to be in a year. So
explain something to me, because I need to understand. How are they even within $3 million of each other? How could two be? So, and the locations could be quite separated. So I can understand if they were by each other, how, you know, the workers would be out there anyway, and they'd be, you know, you could multitask and do a lot of those things. So.
Well, they're bigger. So in other words, the two buildings are bigger than one building. So if you take the same student enrollment, and then
you mean the other way.
Yeah, they're small.
The two buildings are smaller than the one building.
No, have
no, he's
spaces.
Saying when you add the two together,
yeah, you add them up,
that's more space than
when
one
you,
building.
Oh,
because you're building two kitchens and two heating pumps.
And I get that, but $3 million seems small, is what my point is. Mm-hmm. Like, why is that differentiation so small?
It's quite frankly, it's because you have to follow the state formula. You are certainly going to save money economy scale by building one building instead of two. There will always be competing priorities when we go through this. I think we talked about that. What they're saying is their costs expect a buildable site. So if you have to put money into the site for excessive stormwater, like flood controls or something like that, you're going to be taking that money from somewhere else in the building. So that's why it's not as simple as saying that a school will cost this much. What they've done is established a budget that you should be able to design under and do under. And like I said, we've never design one over that. We just make concessions and we figure out how to do it. So and probably not the answer you're looking for.
No, because I still don't understand why $3 million.
Because the square footage cost is the same.
The square footage cost is the same, but the infrastructure needs two separate.
Well, that's what I'm saying, but that's the $3 million. It's for the two kitchens, it's for the two multi-purpose rooms.
Yeah, and it's actually $4 million, but yeah.
Or $4 million.
Yeah, because it was 43.5 to 47.5.
That's right.
But yeah, because I remember I asked that same question back then too. Like, that seems like, how are you getting two buildings for, you know, versus one? And it was the square footage thing, because ultimately, you know, yeah, it's a little more expensive, but, you know, you're building two smaller buildings, which square footage is similar to the one large building.
Okay.
So then you get into cost per square foot to build a building, and it's not that much more expensive to do two than to do one.
Okay.
But what I'm hearing you say also is that, so do those numbers reflect an assumption that the building site, you know, is already going to have, you know, all the improvements and everything that you need, or is there something carved out that says, okay, you've got to do flood control or whatever?
Mm-hmm. It does, it assumes a baseline for all that stuff. So it assumes that you're going to bring in new electrical service, new storm sewers, new stormwater controls. What happens is that they don't expect an extreme case for any of those.
Right.
So in the case of Royalton right now, they've got 1.5 miles of new sewers they need to run to bring that to the building. Their budget doesn't assume that. So those are kind of the additional costs.
Right.
Yeah, you run to the road, but it assumes that there's a sewer at the road. So
and I experienced something similar from our church, which had a capital campaign. And Mike, I don't know if you remember that. They had the same thing, right? There was budget, right? And then they started doing digging, and it's like, oh my gosh, there was all this extra expense, and all of a sudden the scope of what they were going to do had to be pared way back.
Right.
And so if, you know, understanding that that's can be a reality, and you got to make an assumption, so you baseline and say, okay, this is about the average of what you can expect. If we did go to the two building option, now all of a sudden, not only are you not cutting, but you also don't have much buffer, so that if you do run into, you got to run 1.5 miles of sewer line, now you got to really come down even more potentially with quality if the scope. Whereas if you went with one building, there's more buffer in there, so that if you do run into an extreme case, you have more latitude in your funding to get it done and not degrade your quality of what you end up with.
Exactly.
One new building, and I mean, you've seen enough of our stuff here in LHAS. How many years are we going to be able to bond out?
Well, I think that, you know, I think they were talking 35 years is.
We could still go that far out with just one new building and knowing what we're able to put in. You guys were comfortable with that?
Most of our seen them go is 37.
I just didn't know if we could get as far as 35. I'm not looking to go farther. I just was wondering if, you know, we know that we've got still, you know, as we just sat through, some of that work goes into the high school and in the middle school a little bit, so I just want to make sure we could still get out there.
What were you planning on reallocate, like using the PI money for that would have been allocated otherwise?
Well, part of what, when we were just talking previously was, you know, not spending PI money in areas like elementary schools where we
right.
certainly want to do something different.
Right.
And then trying to understand what we'll have left later, you know, so we do build a building. And so this could help our PI money quite a bit, and actually ultimately, because we have a new building, give us money back in effect for PI,
right.
you know, from what we're spending now.
So I thought we didn't want, you know, those renovations to be built in this 35 because it takes
correct
that.
And we talked about how to deal with that so both
yes
know how we deal with that
yeah and just so the plan had like $3 million the one new both buildings at the same amount, I think $3 million for the high school, $2 million for the middle school, you know, to do various improvements, and that can be structured in a way so that it, you know, I would just say it simply, you can structure in a way that you're okay with the 35-year bonding.
Yep.
Okay. So you have that, and what Mike was alluding to was, and we talked a bit about this before, right, when you offline four old buildings and you build one brand new building, you
right.
still have all your PI money, which now on a brand new building, you shouldn't need to use any of it for a while. And not only that, we were talking earlier with Chris about how, you know, you're really going to kind of only do the minimal, given where we're heading, assuming the voters, you know, would approve an issue, you're not going to put much money in the four elementaries right now, right? and if the bond issue passes and those are going to be offline, you're just going to keep them safe and operational. And so you're going to hold money back in reserve just in case something happens and you have to use it. But when those eventually were to become offline, you then have built up a bigger reserve in your PI fund because you weren't using it on those buildings, which then you could then use on the middle school and the high school. That's kind of the extra piece that is a big benefit of this. And then going forward, almost all of your PI money can be used for the older, you know, the older buildings or the, you know, the complex, so to speak.
And there's no limitation for carryover. You can just continually carry over PI.
Yeah, it's not really.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah, it's just a fund, right? So
okay.
You know, if you knew that, you know, you wanted to put a new wing on a building, you save up money. You could get away with it, right? I'm assuming
right.
You could save up money for years and then have a big chunk of money that could do something larger. As long as ultimately the money is spent on something permanent improvement,
right.
You can do what you want.
You can even leverage PI, future PI dollars towards a COPS fund or something to fund construction and any kind
of really?
Improvement. Sure, improvement.
We don't have a whole lot of annual PI funds to play with.
Not now, we don't.
You know, and we're kind of going hand to mouth on repairs now, so I mean, we're not going to be able to be banking much over from now till a new building comes online. Point is, after it's built, you can redirect what would have been spent towards your other two facilities.
Right. We should be able to bank a little bit of money, because even some of that money that has been earmarked in the meantime in the master plan for the next couple of years, you know, what I've said to Chris was, let's do what we only have to do to, as Mark said, to maintain safety and just functionality of the building. But anything that projects that we were thinking, you know, maybe to put off. So while there's not a ton, there's definitely some that has been earmarked already to start putting in that reserve of projects that we've said, let's hold off until our board decides what they want to do before we go ahead with that project. So it won't be, you're not talking millions, but you're talking several hundred thousands of dollars that we should have banked by not doing some of the projects over the next 3 to 4 years.
You could be in the million. You could be north of a million on that. It just depends on how much. It all depends on what breaks and
well,
what you have
exactly
to do.
Right. The middle school roof to
what
promise
goes.
Not to leak.
Yeah.
Come on. We did discuss
roofs.
Well, no, I've been specifically talking about the four elementaries, not the whole entire PI fund.
Yeah.
I'm saying
no,
just
you're
specifically.
Still put money in on the high school and
correct.
The middle
just
level.
Specifically those four buildings.
Right.
We have started pulling back on some of those projects to say, let's not do those right now, only let's maintain safety and operation of buildings. So millions, no, but a couple $100,000, yes, that we would have, more than a couple, probably several $100,000 that we could have specifically talking about those four elementaries.
What other questions do we have for Chris? Anybody?
I think he answered it with the money question.
Okay, I mean, Chris, thank you very much.
Sure. One last one. Acreage. Assuming one facility. One story? Two stories?
Probably do two stories. It just seems to function better than being really, really spread out, especially for an elementary school.
And just given experience, always with the caveat of it's got to be a buildable lot.
Mm-hmm.
Understand that. But I mean, in your experience, this magnitude of this scope of project, many acres.
Interesting. And that's a hard question to define.
Of course.
So,
but I'm just put it in a box.
Anywhere from, I will say this.
Tell us ideally, like what you would have.
Ideally, 100 acres.
Well, there you go.
But
ideally,
with flowers
what would be,
and trees.
Less ideally.
Like you've built a lot, so what have you seen that worked out the best for something like this magnitude?
It's not numbers of acres. It's about how close it is to the main roads, how close it is to what's around it, where it is. I mean, there's a lot that goes into that. But you can put it on a lot as small as 80 acres. You can put it on as large as 100. I mean, there's a rule of thumb, and I'm struggling to remember exactly what it is. It's in the state's design manual. It's something like, it's based on the size of the school plus so many acres, and it's a very quick number. I don't have that right now. I'll send it to
TS
tomorrow.
Okay.
It's always bell curve, right?
It is.
I mean, you got the tails. You can say, you can cram it onto 5 acres, or you can spread it over 100. But okay,
sure.
What's the middle of the curve look like?
Yeah, I mean, it's 20-ish acres would be wonderful.
Yeah.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. It'd be great. And I think that a lot of it goes back to amenities, and you know, do you want outdoor learning, nature centers, and playgrounds, or is it a school? A lot of opportunities.
We've been using the number 17 to 20 when people have asked us that question as just a ballpark, just to give people a range of, you know, how much land a new facility would actually take, with considering that it is an elementary school and you need space for playground and you need outdoor space for kids. So that's about the average.
Yeah. I mean, we just put an 800 student elementary, middle school, elementary school on 3 acres. So you can do anything.
Oh,
in the best interest or the need to.
But a six-story school?
Four.
Isn't, yeah, well, I believe it. I mean, that's, yeah.
You'd have to, yeah.
Anything else for Chris?
This is very helpful. Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you very much. So what else do we need to move forward here? Seems like such a simple question.
Yeah, so let me just walk you through some timelines. Jeff and I have spent a lot of time on the phone with our bonds people and looking at documents. So there's a couple things that need to happen because of the scope of our project. Because we are looking to bond close to the 4% of our actual valuation, we are required by law to file a letter with the Ohio Department of Taxation as well as the State Board of Education, asking for consent to be able to bond this project. Those letters have to be filed by January 8th, and they have to stipulate an amount of money, which again comes to this conversation where we need to kind of decide what we're going to ask for and what we're going to do, because we have to ask for consent of whatever it is that we're doing. Once those letters are filed, the board would still need to take that resolution of need, vote on that at the December 18th meeting. That has to be included with these letters that have to be filed on January 8th. And then afterwards, we would have a filing date of January 28th. It's not the February 7th date to get everything in, which means that on the January 22nd meeting, regular board meeting, you would need to take that second act, and then Jeff and I will drive down to the Board of Elections to file everything on the 23rd. So in order for us to file these letters with the state, they have to stipulate an amount, which is why we needed to have this conversation. So A, we can identify what we're asking for, and we can get those letters ready to go once you pass the resolution on the 18th, so we have everything ready to go and filed by the 8th of January.
Joan, do you know that dollar figure that you have to put in a request for consent to the state, is that a not to exceed? Is that an exact no more, no less?
It's an bond issue in the aggregate principal amount of X dollars.
I would interpret that as not to exceed.
Yeah. That's the verbiage on the request.
Actually, that's a copy of the actual letter.
You don't need the term on there, too?
Well, Jeff has to fill out, I'm going to defer to Jeff. Jeff has to fill out a DTE Form 131, which is a tax form that details all of that information. So that information will come with him. That also has to be included with the filing at the Ohio Department of Taxation and the state. So the actual letter that we filed doesn't have that level of detail, but it has to be attached in a specific tax form.
Yeah, honestly, Mark, I don't see anything on here that mentions, actually it does on the Declaration of Necessity. It does state, you know, number of years and approximate estimated
on the resolution
interest rate. So there is one document. There had to be one, right? That includes that information. So, but it is an estimate. So you do have some leeway.
Well, I guess the other question is, from a board perspective, what, you know, we already know, you know, that there was really one building or two, and based on the conversation and whatnot, there's probably not going to be a great deal of conversation about where we land. And if we land on one building, you know, we're going to get the price tag on it, which I think was $43.5 million, you know, which could be bonded out over, I guess, you know, which the latest numbers would have a 35-year bonding.
Mm-hmm. And I'll email this to the entire board as well, just so you can review. I'll put in succession and try and keep it real simple. They're not long documents, but it'll all be color coded as well. So just for review, that's that's okay with you. Be happy to do that, just so everybody has a chance to take a look.
So it seems impossible to even entertain the thought of the two buildings and keep the integrity that we all would like to keep. Is that correct?
Well, from everything we heard, you know, you, it sounds like you could do it, but I don't know that that it would be the best choice to use.
Exactly.
I mean, I guess, the question is, does anybody on the board feel strongly that we should still look at a two-building option, given everything we've heard and the constraints that go with it, or are we at a point where we're willing to put a stake in the ground and say, no, given our financial constraints, you know, one building is what we should pursue?
I think we have. I mean, because we can't ask for more money. We have to promise to the community that this isn't going to be the access for them, too.
Well, and the other thing I think of is...
And I would have preferred two buildings, but,
yeah.
You know, you start talking about cutting $3 million off of something, you could really be talking some significant...
I also think of it... Just from a selling standpoint, to sell two buildings when we put out there on every single occasion that our enrollment's declining, how do you justify building larger, you know, a more amount of square footage in two buildings, because the two buildings would have more square footage than the one, when we clearly have data to show that our enrollment's declining. It doesn't, you know, from a marketing standpoint, it's much easier to say to our community, we're building a building that is right-sizing us to our enrollment, as opposed to we're building over what we need to right-size our community. So just something else to consider.
And it gives us more flexibility going forward, I think, only having the one building. I mean, again, and not that two buildings would become an issue for us in the next 3-4 years, but in 10, 15 it could. And you really need those two buildings, you know. And whereas with the one bigger building, I mean, and again, I don't know, I shouldn't speak for Chris, but we could probably design one that could end up ultimately becoming maybe a middle school in part or something, or somehow figure that out as if our population goes that far down. We should really be a big enough building, you have some flexibility.
But you also have to be just big enough in case it increases again, because we've seen that happen.
Yeah, absolutely do. Sure, sure. You know, if you know, 5-year enrollment is short compared to the life of the building.
Right.
You know, we're what, under 3,900 now?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so you're under 38.
So the enrollment studies we've seen have it go down some from there. But how, it wasn't very many years ago that we're, you know, at what, 42, 43, 44?
We've dropped 1,000 kids in a 10-year span.
Yeah, we were at 47.
Yep.
Almost 48 at the high water mark.
So, I mean, even if that eventuality of getting back to 4,000 so many hundred made it crowded, you still have to be able to accommodate that number of people. As we know, between grades.
Right, right. No.
Well, we also know that, you know, operationally there's significant savings with operating one building versus two.
Mm-hmm.
And we saw that, I think most people connected those dots when we surveyed them.
Sure.
And said, you know, we asked that one question about if you knew that there was going to be cost savings, you know, people understood that. And that's a big help going forward too. But you're right to your earlier point too, right? You have two buildings, eventually you have two roofs to replace and two kitchens and two mm-hmm. sets of windows and parking lots and everything else.
I think it's also important to note that the language in the letter of consent is generic enough. You don't have to be specific at this point. It's more or less just you know, it's all in your message between now and ballot time, which is the most critical. But with regards to the state, the generic language that you know, we're going to present, or at least present to the board to carry this forward, will be generic enough that gives you leeway. And the message is really what's most important when it gets to May.
Well, but that's contrary to what John put feedback that we got from John, which is, you know, if you know you're going to do one building, or if you wanted to be leave it vague, you may get some blowback of people thinking you're not being transparent.
Right.
So if we know we're going to do one building, why wouldn't we? I mean, we still want to keep it maximum flexibility. But if we know we're saying we're going to do one building, why not say, look, so people know when they read the language, and you don't get people saying, wait a minute, what are you going to do with this money?
And as I say, ballot language may be, you know, can always be, you know, you can always tweak that. But it's at the onset, what's most important is that it at least buys you time to, you know, to be specific instead of between now and, you know, 3 weeks from now when our letters are due. So it's just important to know. And actually, that was his recommendation.
But when we vote on it as a board to put this on the ballot, we need to have the ballot language. And that's what we, I would assume, we would want to be specific that it's going to be to, you know, build one new building to replace.
Why wait? Absolutely. Yep, I agree. Up until this point, it was kind of like, that's why we got to this point. It was kind of like, how do we want to address so we don't paint ourselves into a corner.
Is there anything else you think we need to discuss about this to pull us around the decision?
I don't think so. I mean, basically, we're going to put in the dollar amount that we think is the maximum we can get at 35 years, right? And that's the...
Well, that was the other question, you know, because the option, when the options were presented, it was $43.5 million, I think, was the option for one building. You know, we know from running the numbers that at a 35-year, the ceiling was $44.5 million. So you could potentially get an extra million, and we talked about that in our PI meeting. Mm-hmm. You know, do we want to try to leverage that to do more, you know, on the middle school and high school, you know, on the high school, because that will funnel back into the PI fund potentially.
Yeah, I mean, if you go to the ballot with 44 and you only spend 43, have you violated a law? I don't think so. You know.
Plus, it's going to give you a lot more flexibility. I worked for a builder before I became a teacher, and those costs can really change. You may find that you need it there, but like if not, I think you're probably right to use it.
Well, similar to what Chris said, right? I mean, if we just take the option as it was specced out at $43.5 million, and we leave $1 million off, even though we could still go for it, and then we find out we need to run a mile and a half of sewer line somewhere. And it's the extreme case. Now you're starting to shave into the quality of what you can do.
Mm-hmm. Anything else? So the plan going forward, I mean, can we all agree one building is the way we would like to go for the December 18th meeting?
Yes.
Yes. Okay.
Okay.
And do we
we need to make sure we have the language in front of us on the 18th specifically with that one. We all agree we want it to say in the language the one building.
Okay. And we're going for $44.5 million for 35 years, which is our ceiling of what we can get.
Yep.
Okay.
Got it.
And if interest rates get screwed up, it comes a little left. We have $1 million cushion then, right? In theory.
You always give it back.
Yeah,
that's right.
Well, actually, you don't have to because you can funnel it into the PI.
Is that what
PI
fund?
Yeah, because the language is generic. That's
correct.
It doesn't say X amount of dollars are going to go for the new building and X amount are going to go to the other buildings.
Yeah, I mean,
you know, you have flexibility based on.
Yeah, I mean, basically what you're saying is providing and improving school district buildings and facilities by renovating, remodeling, adding to furnishing equipment and or otherwise. So the language itself gives you the flexibility to use that as the district sees that it's needed.
Okay. All right. Okay. Well, can I have a motion to adjourn?
Second. Conclude.
Sorry. Roll call.
Mrs. Bernauer?
Yes.
Mr. Jansen?
Yes.
Mr. Ziegler?
Yes.
Mr. Dozen?
Yes.
Mrs. Mack?
Yes. Can I have a motion to adjourn?
So moved.
Second.
Roll call.
Mrs. Bernauer?
Yes.
Mr. Jansen?
Yes.
Mr. Ziegler?
Yes.
Mr. Dozen?
Yes.
Mrs. Mack?
Yes. Next regular, well, we are now adjourned. The next regular meeting of the Board of Education is scheduled for Monday, December 18th, 2017 at 7 p.m. The Board of Education. See you then.